invite you to stand as we begin worship today. The Gospels tell us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Henry Blackaby said, if you get the love of God wrong, then all of your relationships are wrong and out of order. We don't want to get the love of God wrong. So today, in the message I bring about the love of God that changes us and the theme of this first song especially, we're going to focus on the love of God. How do you get the love of God right, okay? There's some basic things you can do. One, keep going to the scriptures because they talk about God, our God who is holy love. And then put yourself in a place where the love of God is highlighted in teaching and preaching. We've just come out of some Sunday school classes, and we got home groups tonight, places where that's going to be talked about more than just in a sermon by a pastor. And then we need to talk about the love of God together and celebrate it, and today's service is going to help us do that. We are so glad you have joined us, and we invite you to join us as we sing this first song that's called One Thing Remains, Your Love Never Fails.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your It never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love. Oh, your love never fails. It never gives up. never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love, your love, your love, your love.
Amen. And you may be seated.
Sorry, Eric. We are really glad that you all have come to worship with us this morning. The church looks amazing. It looks not lopsided. I like that. There is so much love in the Lord. We can never fathom that. And I am so thankful that his love never, ever runs out on me because I'm not worthy of it at all. So we're going to get started this morning. We are going to get started with the one offering. And if I'm reading this correct, it is for the Pursuit Homeschool Co-op this morning that we'll be taking up a love offering. They are going to be using our Family Ministry Center this year for their school. And my niece is actually on that board, and that co-op school for homeschool kids is growing leaps and bounds. And so we need to keep all of those in our prayer. And this morning, just give as the Lord would have you to give, if you'd bow with me. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we just come before you, dear Lord, and we are so thankful for the love that you have for us, that you have bestowed on us. Lord, you went to the cross and you died for us. You knew each one of us before we were even planted in our mother's womb, as the Bible says. So we thank you, dear God, for that love that you pour out on us. We ask this morning, dear Jesus, that you would be blessed by the offering that's going to be given, that it would go to the use that you would have it to go to, dear Jesus. Be with us this morning as we open our hearts and our minds to hear from you. I pray, dear God, that you would just pour out on Pastor Fred, that he would bring the word that you had given him, dear Lord. And I pray for each and every person that's going to be baptized today that have made a stand and said, I have accepted Christ as my Savior, and this is the declaration that I make today. And I pray, dear God, that you would just bless each and every one of them. Be with us this morning. Thank you, dear Lord, and we love you. Amen. I'm going to ask Vicki Hollingsworth if she would come up at this time. And as soon as Vicki's done, I'm sorry, but Rob Hunt wants to talk again.
Good morning. I am here to talk about Sunday school. You guys have heard me talk about Sunday school before. I'm kind of obsessed, but that's okay. I should be. So in your bulletins, you have a little piece of paper that looks like this. And your first thought is going to say, oh, yeah, well, I don't come to Sunday school, so I'm just going to throw that away. Please don't. It's here for two different reasons. And the first reason is, for those of you who don't come to Sunday school, what can we do to make our Sunday school more enticing? What can we do differently that would make you want to come to Sunday school? And it doesn't mean that we're going to follow every idea that's given, because we can't. But we can't look at your ideas and see if that would help if we don't know what those ideas are. So it's not going to start at noon, regardless of how much you would like that to be not at 9:30 in the morning. And we can't serve steak, but we can make some changes if we need to that will help more people feel comfortable coming to Sunday school. If you already come to Sunday school, what are we doing right? Why do you come? What makes this where you want to be? Now, a lot of the excuse that I have heard, and one I have used in the past, I hate to use this as confession time, but it's the truth, is, well, Sunday school is just boring. I don't want to, you know, go. Well, let me tell you, if you have that idea, then you're in the wrong Sunday school class. We have four different classes. All four of them have different styles. All four of them do something a little bit different, and I'm going to tell you what those are real quick. So if you're in a class that you feel is boring, you're just in the wrong class, and it's not going to hurt any teacher's feelings for you to move to a different class. It will hurt their feelings if you just quit going. but it won't hurt their feelings for you to move to a different class. Now, here's the four classes we have. We have one that's the regular Nazarene curriculum. They are going to start next week talking about the kings. It is a fascinating study when you start talking about the kings. So they're going to be going through Chronicles because that's where the kings are listed and talked about the most. David Day teaches that class, and he is, where's David? There, he's right there. So you would get to listen to David, and he's great. The second class that I'm going to tell you about, next week they're studying, they start a study on the Beatitudes. That class studies a book. They take a book from one of the Bible curriculum places, and it's not always from a Wesleyan type publishing company. But it's from a Bible publishing company. They take that book and they study it. It usually takes a quarter, 3 months to go through the book. The next one they're doing is about the Beatitudes, and I think it's called 18 Minutes with Jesus, if I remember right. And so that starts next week. You can get in on the ground floor with that one. Same thing with David's class. They start the new quarter next week, so get in on that one. Marty Rader is the teacher of that class, and he's not here today, so I can't have him wave at you. The third class is a study of Romans, and this class takes the scripture and picks it apart, studies it word and phrase and idea, little at a time, usually gets through 2 to 3 to 5 verses a week. So we go really slow and get in depth of what's going on in the book of Romans. We are in the middle of chapter 7. And if you've read Romans, you know chapter 7 is where it goes, I know what I want to do, but I really can't do that. But all these things that I know I shouldn't do, that's what I do. And so those scriptures that are really kind of hard to understand, we break them apart so you can understand them. Chapter 8 is next, and that's where all the meat in Romans is, in chapter 8. So you're coming in at a good time if you want to start with the book of Romans. Romans is led by me. I get to do Romans, so it's great fun, and we'd love to have you in there. The fourth class is a study of The Chosen. You've all heard of the TV series The Chosen, and it's amazing. Well, they're watching snippets of that and then doing a Bible study to go along with it. What is the truth? What is God saying? What did Jesus mean by this? And that is led by Eric and Sean Yarnell. And Sean's behind me, and Eric is back there at the sound booth. Three of the four classes are over in the worship, the Family Life Center. One is upstairs. Sean and Eric's class is upstairs. So because of that, the younger crowd kind of gravitates to that, because us older people don't want to do those stairs every week. So, but we're all over in the other building. On the other side of the building. We would love to have you. Every one of us is open arms. Please come and join us. I've heard the excuse, well, I just feel so shy. I don't want to walk into a class and not know anybody. I am in the foyer every day until, every Sunday until about 9:28. I'm usually the last one in my class because I'm slow. And I will happily take you to any class you want to go to and introduce you to the people. So don't let that be your excuse to not go. So if you want to fill out the top and not the bottom, or you don't want to put your name on it, that's great. The reason I want to know what class you're associated with is because our roles are kind of messed up right now. We have the same people on 4 different roles, and that's not how it should be. We're just trying to clean up our records. So even if you're not a regular attender, but you'd really kind of like to be associated with this particular class, fill that bottom part out. If you're a visitor, and there's something you really like about Sunday schools in general, feel free to let me know, because sometimes we get great ideas from other churches. So we don't mind you filling this out, even if you don't come here on a regular basis. Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you in Sunday school next week.
Hello, I'm Rob Hunt. For you who don't know me, I am the youth director here. So I was going to announce we're going to start something that we haven't done in years here. I think Selena was the last person that had this, but we're going to start with teen prayer partners. So what that is the adults, these will be out on the welcome desk, and you can fill them out. Basically, it just has your name, your phone number, and whether you prefer to pray for a boy, girl, or no preference. So if you can fill this out, if you're willing to do this, and get it back to me, and what this is going to look like is that you're just going to faithfully pray for a teenager in our youth group. You guys can exchange numbers. You can, like, get them gifts for their birthday. You can send them words of encouragement. This is just, like, my kids had Brad and Dot Turner, which most of you don't know, that go here, but that was their prayer partners, and they prayed for them for years. So, but we're going to take these, whoever fills them out, we're going to pray over them, and then we're going to hook you up with a teen, partner you up with a teen, and that way you can start praying for them. I will go more in depth of what we're wanting you to do with this, and we want you to be able to commit to at least a year of praying for this teenager, so that you don't just start praying for them for a month and forget about it, and then they're not being prayed for. So if you have any questions, just get with me, or these will be out on the welcome desk. Thanks.
Okay. I'm going to try to zip through these. So Sunday school survey, don't forget that. We have Adopt a Classroom. Information's out on the welcome table. You can sign up with that. As you know, we took up an offering and we did the packets for the third grade classes. This is to partner with a teacher, pray for them, uphold them. So if you are interested in doing that, there's more information. You can sign up out there, or you can talk to Cheryl right there. Our district primetime fellowship is Friday, October 6th in Branson. There's also a sign-up sheet out on the table. Not an overnight retreat this year. It's just a one-day retreat. So there's more information out there. If you're interested in going, sign up out there. Our food pantry day is this Saturday, a volunteer. If you would like to be a part of that, you can talk to Bridget Greer. She's the one in charge of that. We do have home groups. If you don't belong to a home group and you don't know anybody in them, I think the home groups, there's inside your bulletin. It gives the names and numbers, and you can talk to whoever you want and get plugged in there. Today is Celebration Sunday. We're going to have baptism. We mentioned that earlier. That is just awesome. And it is also a communion, so make sure you've got your little communion cup. If you don't and you would like to partake in communion with us, we can. They're at the back door. The ushers can see that you get that. In the chair in front of you is a Connect card, and we do these every Sunday. We're just a reminder. If you're new with us this morning and you'd like for us to get to know you a little bit better, you can fill that out. Put your information on there. On the back side of it is a prayer request, and this isn't just for new people. This is for anyone that has a prayer request that you would like to either get into the bulletin, get to Pastor Fred. You can fill that out, put it in the offering plate, give it to the ushers, and they'll see to it that it goes to where it needs to be. So at this time, I'm going to ask you to stand up and do meet and greet. If you see a new face, tell them hello, shake a hand, and then we're going to get into praise and worship.
Street to the small town barber, everybody in a dark place. Yeah. Crying tears like a river run. No umbrella and you're caught in the rain. Running low on faith, can I get an amen? This is where life is coming at ya. Hands up, here's your anthem. If you're having a hard day, ain't no way you're giving up. If you're dealing with heartbreak, ain't no way you're giving up. With all the negativity, yeah. Don't forget you can shut it off. And trying to catch your mind when it runs. Easier said than done. Can I get an amen? This is where life is coming at ya. Hands up.
As you find your seats, the kids are going to bless us with a special song. This is Kids Sunday, and they are in here. Family Sunday, and they are in here to worship with us. Thank you, kids. This is Celebration Sunday. You need to know there's three parts to this service. There is communion, there's baptism, and there's cupcakes. So the cupcakes are going to be out here after the service, but we just thought it's the kind of day where there's a photo booth out there and all that kind of thing. It's the kind of day where you might want to hang out a little bit and you'll be together with family. Cheryl was raised in a church where they had refreshments after service every Sunday. And when our kids were little, we were like, oh, that's going to ruin lunch for them, especially if it's cupcakes. It does not. So we learned that from that church. That was one of the lessons we learned. So we invite you to grab a cupcake on the way out and get to know somebody, maybe if you don't recognize them. We're glad if you're a guest with us today that you've joined us. If you would fill out that Connect card, we just want to keep you in our prayers and stay connected if we can. All right, would you stand with us? We're going to celebrate the blood of Jesus that washes us whiter than snow before we go to communion.
I think Pastor Fred likes his sweets. What do you think?
Wow, sing with us.
Once in sin, darkest night, I was wandering alone. A stranger to mercy I stood. But the Savior came nigh when he heard cry, and he put my sins under the blood. They are covered by the blood. They are covered by the blood. My sins are all covered by the blood. My iniquities so vast have been blotted out at last. My sins are all covered by the blood. From the burden I carry, now I am set free, for Jesus has lifted my load. Oh, the love and the grace I received in his place when he put my sins under the blood. They are covered by the blood. They are covered by the blood. can dare understand why he sought even me, why his life blood on Calvary flowed. But sufficient for me, since he died on that tree, he has put my sins under the blood. They are covered by the blood. They are covered by the blood. My sins are all covered by the blood. My iniquities so vast have been blotted out at last. My sins are all covered by the blood. Now he comes to my heart and removes every care. He bears all my cumbering load. In a pathway replete with his love on my feet, since he put my sins under the blood. They are covered by the blood. They are covered by the blood. My sins are all covered by the blood. My iniquities so vast have been blotted out at last. My sins are all covered by the blood. They are covered by the blood. They are covered by the blood. My sins are all covered by the blood. My iniquities so vast have been blotted out at last. My sins are all covered by the blood. And there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Precious blood of the Lamb.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Sing again with me. Singing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise Him for the blood. There are many things that we need to pray about. And today's prayer has a little different format because we're preparing for the baptism part of the service and for communion. But I came across this quote and I filed it away. It's been on my computer in a file for a long time. Dag Hammarskjöld, who was the General Secretary of the United Nations way back in like the 1950s, he really helped that organization get strong back in the day that was doing a lot of good work. He was a very committed Christian from Europe. Here's something he said. He said, "Hallowed be thy name, not mine. Thy kingdom come, not mine. And thy will be done, not mine." I know from my own prayer life that our prayers sometimes tend to get selfish, like it's all about what I need, what I think I need, what I want in my life, and praying maybe those things away that I don't want in my life. God is the one on the throne, and He's the one we address and we come to. So we want to pray together and agree on some things this morning. I do know David Stanfield is facing surgery this week, and we want to pray for him especially. Many of you have been praying for Eldon Moore, who's dealing with stomach cancer and undergoing chemotherapy. John Brungard, the Geik's nephew as well, with cancer. Bob Stanfield, Wayne Galbraith,
and we're praying for Connie. Lance Johnson, his sister Lisa Brown is on the prayer list there, and Tim Allen is his brother-in-law, his other sister, another sister's husband, and his sister is facing cancer treatments that she's been taking, and his brother is facing a possible liver transplant, a lot of things like that. I also just want to say this. I was really encouraged. A week ago, I was at the groundbreaking ceremony for the Choices Pregnancy Center, and I met Pastor Doug from the Marshfield Assembly of God. And he reminded me, he's told me this before, but he said, in our services, we pray for another church in the community. So he said, we pray for your church on Sunday morning. And I just want to have us pray today. Across our street is Destiny Church. Great church. God's really used them. And their pastor this is his last Sunday here. He's moving to a church in St. Louis where he'll go on staff, a multi-campus church. And we want to pray for them through this process of transition, that God would hold them strong and steady. So would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we come to you, we want to have that reminder that this is not so much about us, it's about coming to you, the great God, the eternal Father on the throne of heaven, the sovereign one who controls the operations in this world, who understands at dimensions we will never be able to fathom how things need to happen and the timing of all of that and the things that we may think are good or the things we think are bad and how all of that fits into your plan. So we come to you humbly today and very grateful that you are God on the throne and we're not. Remind us of that today, Lord, if that's the reminder we need. We're not in charge, you are. And we submit to you. I pray today again for students and parents and teachers as they've come through a week of school and they'll be headed back. And I pray, God, for those who are already in a struggle, whether it's in a relationship issue or a study area that's really difficult for them, for teachers and administrators where it might be a tough student, somebody they're having to try to direct and handle. For parents who feel like they're burning the candle at both ends with the scheduling that's going on in the life of their children. So we lift them up to you. I pray for those who are struggling right now with cancer. God, I lift up Eldon to you and John Brungard and Bob Stanfield and Wayne Galbraith and Lisa Brown. And there's others. You fill in the names of the ones that you're praying for. Praying today for David Stanfield as he faces surgery this week, God. That you would guide the surgeons. That you would bring healing, relief from the pain as they do the surgery. We submit him to you. God, I want to pray for the gospel preaching churches in Webster County. I want to pray for an extension of unity, of a bonding together in the mission that you have left us here to accomplish. We got a lot of different names above the doors, but we are each one preaching the gospel of Christ, the saving message of Jesus and the cross. Would you help us, Lord? And I pray for Destiny Church today as they say their goodbyes to Pastor Mark. And I pray that you would watch over this church and their future, that you will guide them for the next pastor that needs to come there. And I pray, Lord, you would hold them together in unity and that you would strengthen them even during the interim and that you will use them, continue to use them greatly in this community. And I pray too, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see the world as you see the world, that it would create a desire to see people's lives change as we will celebrate today around this baptistry, lives that have been changed, the forgiveness of sins, the new life that you give us, eternal life that comes only because of your sacrifice, Jesus. But would you help us to see those who still don't know Christ? We believe, Lord, that you're coming again, and we don't know how soon that will be, but we're in a countdown, and it's sooner now than it's ever been before. We lift up our heads, for our redemption is drawing near. But Lord, help us not to just hold this good news to ourselves. I pray that you would inspire us today to go from here and spread that good news. news for people who have not received Christ as their Savior, and that you would use us as a church and as individuals to affect the power of God going out into this world. We submit to you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen, amen. Well, we have placed these communion cups out by the doors. If you would like to participate with us in communion and don't have one, just head out there real quick and pick one up. As we approach the Lord's table for communion, we're humbled because we know that God's word is true, which says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we go on to the next verse. Romans 3:24 says, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And that scripture continues. It says, for God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on our good deeds. It is based on our faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. Humble and grateful, we come to the table with appreciation for the work of Christ. All those who have repented of their sins and forsaken them, you don't have to be a member of this church, but if you have repented of your sins and believed on Christ as your Savior, you are invited to join us as we come to the Lord's table. And we come to this table also to remember that Jesus is coming again. And we also come to the table to be renewed in the mission of Christ, that he has given us a commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And it helps us to focus on the why as we hold the bread and the cup. And we also need to recognize that we are made one by his Spirit. Across this room, if you could have my viewpoint today, this is a glorious sight. Because there are many guests with us today because of the baptisms, and there are several churches represented in this room, but just remember, we are one in Christ. Let's act like it. Let's live like it. Let's be like it. Amen. Would you pray with me once again? God, we gather at your table. This feast is for your disciples. And we come to you knowing that we are only made worthy through the work of your Son, Jesus, on the cross. We gather to offer ourselves to you in praise, in thanksgiving, and surrender. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these representatives of the body and the blood of Christ. Make us one. Make us strong in you. By your grace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you open the bread compartment? And let's prepare to partake together. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is broken for you at the cross, may it preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Take and eat this with gratitude. Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you, washes the stain of sin whiter than snow. May it preserve you blameless to everlasting life. Let's drink together, grateful for the sacrifice Christ made for us. Lord, we are forever grateful. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have accomplished. It is finished. Help us to live in that finished work. May we awaken each day to the reality of the salvation of our souls, that you have entrusted this good news to us to share with others, and that you are coming again. May you be praised forever and ever. We love you, Lord, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite our ushers to come to the front and help us in giving. Just to give you an update on our finances, our weekly need as far as our annual budget is $7,405 a week. That means in a four-week month like August, we need an income of $29,620. This is the last Sunday of the month. Here's where we're at. Today's offering, we need $6,974. $6,974. At this point, I don't feel led to do this. I heard of a church where they had that number, and then they went and counted the money, and they brought the pastor a note that said how much they had. Then if it didn't reach it, they passed the plates again. Not planning to do that today, but we just invite you to give. Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this time we have to be in your house today, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for the many blessings that you allow us to be stewards over. Lord, as we offer back a portion of that, we just ask that you bless it and multiply it, Lord, and use it to further your kingdom. Lord, we love you so much, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. What a great message. My old Bible prof used to say, a Christian is by definition a man amazed. Amazed that God would love a sinner such as I. Amazed that he would leave his throne and come to earth. Amazed that he would allow himself, the king of the universe, to be nailed to a cross for my sins. I am a man amazed. Well, I want to talk today about how God's love can change you. God's love can change you. Our God is about giving a new life and a fresh start. And we've celebrated communion already. And our salvation, including the hope of heaven, are made possible only by Jesus' death on the cross. His suffering there was for your sins and mine. He offers forgiveness for your sins as a free gift. You can't earn it. You do not deserve it, but he offers it. And if you have not received God's forgiveness for your sins, it's my prayer that before today ends that you would receive it personally. That's really the reason this church exists. It's what puts hope into our name. That we know this is the life-changing power of God, and we don't want you to miss the life that Christ died for you to live. After this message, we're going to baptize some who have recently received God's forgiveness for their sins. They found new life in Christ. Now, we're washed by water, but there's nothing magical in the water. It's a symbol of the fact that our sins have been washed by the blood of Jesus. And so it doesn't happen when you're in the tank. It's already happened. And this is a public declaration to say, I have made my choice. I choose to follow Jesus. I want to take us to Luke chapter 15 today. And Luke 15, the way our scriptures are divided, is three parables of Jesus about lost things. And the final story there, which begins in verse 11, Luke 15, 11, is the story of the lost son. You may know this story as the prodigal son. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Now understand, Jesus is speaking to a Jewish audience. Pigs are not allowed. There would have been groans. There would have been whispering about how terrible his decision was, how low life had taken him as Jesus told this story. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him," this was his rehearsed speech, "'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" And if you read between the lines, you would hear the father say something like this, "Son, what are you talking about?" "But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Kill the fattened calf and let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." This is the word of the Lord. Well, here's where we need to start. The reality is that you and I have sinned. Not a one of us can sit here smugly like, "Oh, I didn't." Like we've never blown it. Like we've never violated any of God's commands or instructions. Like we've never thumbed our noses at God because we didn't care about our souls. Some of us, when we come to church, might dare to try to look holy. Like sin has never ruled our lives, but that would not be true, because when we open God's word, you go to John's first letter where he says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives." And then we can remember what I've already said that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I came to Jesus asking for forgiveness at the age of 6. Now, hearing that, you might catch yourself saying, "Oh, Fred, you couldn't have done that much bad." But you'd be wrong. By age 6, I was a pretty good liar. I had a foul mouth, and I was learning to be a thief. See, when I broke something around the house, I would lie to my parents and blame it on one of my brothers. When I played ball with the older boys at the ball field, I came home repeating some of those words they would say. And I can still remember my mother's look when she heard words from my mouth that she thought she would never, ever hear in our house. And when I went with my friends to the corner convenience store, I came out with stolen candy in my pockets. At the age of 6, I was well on my way to being a trained hoodlum by age 12. I needed Jesus. What happened to me? Well, I came to church and I heard sermons like this one, and I realized I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. I needed forgiveness for my sins. If you put it in the context of the story of the prodigal son, it's like I recognized myself in the pit with the pigs. I looked at myself walking around in hog manure and realized this stinks. This is no way to live. And I came to my senses. Here was this Jewish boy who thought he had it all. He had a lot of money at one point. Friendless, broke, convinced he had done so much bad that he could never be loved and accepted at home again. He did not believe his father would take him back as a son. But maybe, just maybe, his dad would agree to hire him at minimum wage and give him one of the jobs of the servants. See, sin destroys our self-image. It's hard for us to love other people when we don't think much of ourselves. And sin does that. It makes us think we're worthless. It heaps shame and guilt onto our lives. We dig a deep hole with sin. And the reality is, you have sinned and I have sinned. So, just like the prodigal, we need to return to God. The story of the prodigal son takes this amazing turn from the stench of the hog pen to the joyous embrace and celebration of home. The Father who's waiting to throw a party for us does not ever force us to return. That's our decision alone. His love never fails. It never gives up on you, but you have to make the decision to return. God is always waiting by the phone, if you will. He's waiting for your call, but you have to pick it up and call him. Now, this scripture is a parable that Jesus gave. A parable is a story with a moral. It teaches us something. And the parable of the prodigal son, I think, highlights how easy it is to waste your life, to go down a path you think is the right path, or you choose to be the right path for you, and then end up in a terrible place at the end. But it also shows us the patient love of the Father who is always waiting, hoping we will return, that we will have a moment of awakening where we say, I will go back to my Father and say to him. Awakening when we realize how far we've fallen, what we've allowed sin and life to do with us, but then realizing that the Father will take us back. We need to return to God. And then we see that God is patiently waiting for our return. In the parable of the prodigal son, what the son did not understand was how great the Father's love was for him. If you knew more about my spiritual background, you would hear me talk about legalism and how that was binding in my life. And I grew up in some good places as far as going to church, but there were some people there that I'm convinced did not really understand much about the love of God. So when they highlighted stories from God's word, his love was not highlighted. And I needed to learn about the love of God. Whenever I preach a sermon like this, I'm always afraid I'm going to go too far overboard talking about God's love. Here's what I've figured out after following Jesus for over 50 years. I can't go overboard talking about God's love. So you're hearing a little bit about it today, but there's way more we need to say. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The prodigal could not imagine that his father had been waiting for him. I'm sure in his mind he had scenarios that had played of how mad my dad is at me and he'll never want to even see my face again. That's what sin had done to him. But the father had been waiting every day for his son to come home, looking longingly down that road to see if anybody was on the horizon, hoping against hope that his son would return. And the scripture says, while his son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. One of the biggest lies that the devil might tell you is that you are no longer worthy to be a son or a daughter of God. It is a lie. You will never escape the love of God, the reach of the love of God. You will never escape it. Too many people believe that lie, and that's why they stay away from church. They pretend to be atheists. They talk about all the hypocrites, and that's why they don't want to be there. Whatever they need to do to convince themselves that God is not for them, and the church would only judge them. The truth is, God is patiently waiting for you to return. Praise his name. And then I got to say this, because it's Celebration Sunday, but it's also the story. When someone returns, celebrate! Somebody bring the cupcakes! The way God's love can change you is so powerful that it calls for a celebration. The Bible describes this change as going from darkness to light. You've been in the cave when they turn out the lights, right? From darkness to light. From death to life. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Sin separates us from God and leaves us broken. The word picture of the prodigal in the pig pen is one way to understand that. It leaves us so broken in the lowest place. The psalmist prayed, but you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And then he prayed this, turn to me and have mercy on me. Mercy is one of those words in the Bible that tells a story. Mercy only shows up when somebody is in need. Have mercy on me, O God, for I am a sinner. Mercy is what helpless, hurting people need to say. The one who gives out mercy is God. And he delights in being on call round the clock for missions of mercy. I'll tell this story and then I'll wrap it up. When I first met Pat, she was in the mental health unit of a big city hospital. Her daughter was part of our church in a small farm town. She had tearfully told me on Sunday that her mom was not doing well, and I offered to go and talk with her. And I'll never forget how Pat shook as she tried to light a cigarette. We went outside into the courtyard, and she was just like this, and trying to get the fire on the end of the cigarette. Her nerves were shot. Most of her teeth were missing from drug use. She easily looked 10 years older than she was. She had lived a hard life as a slave to alcohol, and it looked like her addictions were about to claim her life. When I met Pat, I met a person who had no hope. She knew she was lost, and she did not believe that God could love somebody like her. She'd blown it so many times. Well, I assured her that God cared, and every time I got an answer back, she pushed back whenever I told her God still cared for her. So I prayed with her before I left, and she cried when I prayed, and I promised to come back and see her again. And I kept telling her that God loves her, that God cares for her, that he was her answer. And she'd believe that for a minute. And then the lie that she was not worthy would just overrun the truth I was speaking to her. When Pat got released from the hospital, I really thought that her addictions would just swallow her up again. But instead, she showed up at church the next Sunday with her daughter. And on that Sunday, she called on God. And I had the privilege of praying with her as God changed her, as God loved on her, as God made her the girl that he had created her to be. That transformation was truly like night and day. It lit up her face. Her toothless smile is one of the prettiest pictures I still have locked into my brain. It was filled with the joy of the Lord and the freedom that Christ had given her. Praise his name. Now, Pat was a hard case. And it took a lot of faith for me when I first met her to believe that God's love could reach to a person in her condition and change her. And I'm convinced to this day that God allowed me to encounter Pat after I'd been a pastor for 2 years. So it was way back there early in my ministry, so that I would always believe that God's love can change anybody. So now it's up to you. Do you need to change your life? His invisible presence is right here in this room. He sent his spirit to be with us today. All you need to do is come to your senses and return to the Father. I've sinned against heaven and against you. I've done all this bad stuff, and you know it. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but God, I really need you. And I'm here to tell you that when he sees you coming, he will run to you. He'll meet you more than halfway. No matter what kind of mess you've made of your life, God still loves you. Don't miss that. Don't believe the lie. I'm telling you the truth. No matter what kind of mess you have made of your life, God still loves you. And faith is not a prerequisite. Faith in yourself is not a prerequisite for salvation. Only faith in God. All right? Faith in yourself is not a prerequisite. Only faith in God. If you can pray like the criminal dying on the cross next to Christ, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, God can forgive you and save your soul. I wonder if that's you today. And I'm going to pray in just a moment, and if that's you and you ask God to come and forgive your sins, I want you to take that connect card out of the back of the seat and just mark that. Just put your name and a contact way that I can get a hold of you and just mark, I prayed today for the forgiveness, for my sins to be forgiven, for God to come live in me. And there's one other side to this coin. I want to flip that over. I'm speaking to many believers in this room, and I think sometimes we give up too easily on people. We see the mess of their lives and how tangled it all is. We hear the lies that they believe, and we don't see how they could ever be broken of that way of thinking, that they've failed so many times, there's no more hope. And maybe we get a burden, and we pray for a few weeks for them, and then we just kind of, they drop off the radar, and we just lose touch. We kind of give up on them. Probably because we don't really believe in the core of our being, God could change somebody like that. God's love can change anybody. So I wonder, believer, if you've neglected your responsibility, there's some people God put around you that you're supposed to be praying for and interacting with, getting involved in the tangled mess of their lives, because God put you there specifically for that reason. Let's pray together. If you need to receive God's forgiveness today, remember, you cannot mess up your life so bad that He cannot forgive you. So pray with me. Jesus, here I am. I need you. You know all the things I've done, and I am so sorry. I turn from that way of living. I ask for your forgiveness. And I ask you to come live in me, change me from the inside out. I need you, Jesus. In your mercy, hear my prayer and change my life. Amen. Let me pray with the believers. Lord, here we are. Again, I pray that you would open our eyes to see the world as you see the world and specific people that you have put in our lives, that we're supposed to be the light shining in the darkness of sin that covers them. We're supposed to be the representative of eternal life and the changed life that only you can give. Forgive us for those places we've failed to do that. Forgive us for our lack of faith to look at someone and believe that your power could still change them, could rescue them from their life and the place that sin has taken them. And I pray, God, you would stir us up from the inside with a burden and a passion to come alongside those who need to know Christ as Savior. Would you use us for your glory to spread that good news? In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it's time to celebrate. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite those who are prepared to be baptized to come right down here to the front. And I'll meet you here. We have five that are prepared to be baptized today. Brothers and sisters, baptism is the sacrament declaring our choice to follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans described it as follows. He said, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. And if you see our shirts, you'll find that verse right on the back of the shirt. It's Romans chapter 6. The earliest and simplest declaration of the Christian faith into which you now come to be baptized is found in the Apostles' Creed. And I'm going to ask you to stand. And here it is. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church of Jesus Christ, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. So I ask you, will you be baptized into this faith? If so, answer, I will. And do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And do you put your whole trust in his grace and love in this moment? If so, answer, I do. Will you love God above all else and always try to keep everything out of your life that God would not want in it? If so, answer, I will with God's help. All right. You may be seated. So we're going to call the name, and at that point, we'd like to have family members come who would stand with them. Some may stand right here, maybe helping them in and out of the baptistry, and some may come up here. You're like front row witnesses, all right? Okay. And we're going to baptize Cheyenne first. So any family members here, come up and join us. Just come right here. Thanks. Okay. Sorry. No, I don't.
So this is a really exciting day. I have had the privilege of watching Cheyenne grow in the Lord, not just since this position in January, but the whole years that I've been here helping. And her love and desire for God has really grown just with her questions and her desire to serve him. And she would like to share a little bit of her story and her testimony with the church.
So before I started coming here, I went to a church. I like that church, but they didn't really inspire me, I guess, to love God as much as I do now. And when I took the oath to have God in my life, I was in my bedroom. I had my Bible and I had this thing that we worked on that was like the ABCs of letting God into your life, and I went off of that, I'd say. And after that, the feeling that I had was amazing. I felt free and I felt happy, and I tried to start reading my Bible and worshiping him and all that. I kind of faded away from that a little bit, but I got back into it. Now, every morning when I get ready, sometimes I listen to worship music and all that. And I feel like this church has helped me so much because of our church family and the way that you guys, like, connect. It made me feel so happy to be in this church. At kids camp, we all bowed, well, people, the people that wanted to accept God into their life went on one of the wood benches, and we ordered the stairs, and it made me cry a whole bunch because Miss D said that God connects to us through our emotions. So,
she said at camp that she felt God in a real way, like felt his presence in a real way that she hadn't felt before. And you could just see it on her at camp. So I wanted her to share that for a little bit. So I have something for you. I'm actually going to give it to your mom since you're going to get in the water here. But we have a certificate of baptism. And then I wanted to give you a white rose for two reasons. One, because it symbolizes that God has saved you and cleaned your heart and given you a pure heart. So when you see it, it reminds you that God, that his blood has saved you and cleansed your heart. And it's also a reminder to keep your heart clean for him. Okay. And do you have somebody to pray for you today?
Creator God, we thank you for the gift of the life of this child who is in the baptism. May your blessing and peace and joy be with them and protect them all of their days. We make this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus.
This is a favorite part of my job. Okay, all right. Cheyenne Black, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thank you, family, for being here today. Grace Nelson is next.
All right, so this is Grace Nelson. You guys know her. I first met her and her mom at MCS when we were going to school there, and I'm sure you guys have noticed Grace and Bree are friends, if anybody has noticed that. They tend to be beside each other all the time, and she has just really grown. She shared with me that she was saved when she was younger, but God has just continued to show her, and she's continued to recommit her life to him, and so she wanted to share a little bit of that story with you.
I have been saved a few times before, but here is the time I remember the best. At church camp this summer, in chapel, they called us to the stage if you wanted to be saved. I felt like I should go up to the stage, so I did and recommitted my life to Christ.
Good job. All right. Oh, and I have something for you, too. Hold on. Oh, she's ready to get in there. She's already walking up there. Okay. So, you can. So we have your certificate of baptism. And then, as you heard with Cheyenne, the rose to remind you that God has cleansed you and given you a clean heart and to remind you to keep your heart clean for him, okay? All right, and who do we have that's praying for you today? Mom.
Lord, I just come to you today. I thank you for this child that you blessed us with. She is our sunshine, our blessing, and I know you see her the same way. I thank you for her entire life. She has loved you. I can't think of a time where she didn't. And Lord, this child has been through a lot in the last year and a half, and she still knows that you are good, and she still knows that you love her, and I pray that she will always know that. And Lord, I just thank you for this commitment that she is making to you, and that she will remember this day, and that her life will be a testimony to you, and that she will be a world changer. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Grace Nelson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sarah is next. You want to share something?
Yeah. So Sarah here, she doesn't want to talk. She don't talk much. So I'm going to kind of tell her testimony from my point of view. A few months ago, after a service here, a morning service, there's a kid in our youth group, Blake, and he got to asking me questions about Jesus and stuff. And long story short, he's like, you know, I'm ready to accept Jesus in my heart. I was like, all right. So we was in the family ministry center, and we knelt down on the chairs, and he gave his life to Christ. And so we got up, and we was walking out, and then Jasmine, she was standing there. And she started asking me questions. We were actually standing in the kitchen. And she was asking me questions about, you know, what had just happened and all this, about everything. And she goes, you know, I'm ready to accept Jesus as my Savior. So we went back in the family ministry center, and she knelt down, and she gave her heart to Christ. And so when we come back out, she looked at Sarah, and she goes, Sarah, how about you? And Sarah took off running. She ran down the hall, ran out those doors, and she was gone. And Jasmine's like, what in the world? I said, listen, she has to do it in her own time. God deals with people differently. It'll be fine. So then we'll step ahead to teen camp. So we's at teen camp, and Kelly can explain this better. Do you want to explain it? Because I wasn't in the girls' cabin, praise the Lord.
Okay, so I knew Sarah was obviously running from God. God was dealing with her for quite some time. So at teen camp, we went down to the cross one night, and a lot of people were saved, praying, and everything, and Sarah was totally running. We went back to our cabin. We always had devotions at night. Sarah wasn't in there. I went in there. She had climbed up to her bed in the corner and said, I'm just going to stay in here. So she was running the whole time. So as we all got finished with our devotions and we went back to to our rooms, Sarah was up there, and one of our other leaders in our cabin, I went and talked to her, and I said, I need you to pray with me because I feel God's really dealing with her, and I think she's completely running, and we need to pray for her. So she just went in there, and all of us girls gathered around her, and she gave her heart to Jesus, and she was... I can see it in her. She is a changed girl, and I just love her so much.
They got you cornered in that cabin. You couldn't run, could you? She's like, but I just want to let you know that I'm so proud of you. I've seen such a huge change in you and how you're growing for the Lord. And you just need to realize this is a daily walk. You will grow each day more and more. And we'll mess up. I mess up. Everybody up here messes up. But we have a God of grace that can forgive us of that. So just keep on looking towards him and living the life that you need to for him, okay? We'll pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you thanking you so, so much for Sarah. And we just pray, God, that you just bless her life, Lord. And as she walks this life with you, Lord God, I just pray, God, that you just help her, Lord, to know when she is tempted that you will always give her an out to get away from the temptation. I pray, God, that you help it to be obvious to her what the out is and help her to take it, to strengthen her. Lord God, watch over and protect her, Lord God. Just fill her with your spirit, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Sarah, clap. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jasmine?
This is Jasmine, Sarah's sister, and this little girl I just love so much, and I'll start crying. So anyway, she is just a blessing, and as Rob said, as we've watched Sarah grow, I've watched Jasmine grow, and a few weeks ago, Pastor Fred came in the Sunday school room, and we talked about baptism, and he wanted to make sure everyone knew what it meant and what it was about and what you were doing, and I'll never forget it. Jasmine came up to me. And we were back there in our little row, and she came up to me, and she said, Mama Kay, I cannot wait to get baptized. And she was so excited, and she just keeps telling me. And last night, she was so excited to be here today to get baptized. And she's just an amazing blessing. You really should get to know these girls. Father, I just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. What a blessing these kids are to us. Father, what a blessing Jasmine is to me. Lord God, I just pray that as she walks her life with you each day, God, that you will help her to never, ever forget that your love is so faithful and strong for her, Father, and that you will never quit loving her no matter what, God. Father, keep her from evil. Keep her from temptation, Lord God. And when she is tempted, Father, just help her to turn to you, God. Father, let her know that we as a church family love her and we are here for her, God, and that we will be here for her for everything that she goes through. And God, I just thank you today for her testimony that she's dying to self and just being raised a new life in you, Jesus. And we just thank you so much for her testimony today, Lord. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Jasmine, clap. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Woo. Kirsten?
So dance for me.
Yeah.
So last night we had Above All Else, so the teen girls' night, and I was at the end praying with girls, and I walked by her, and I looked at her, and I was like, do you want to talk? And she's like, no. And so I was like, okay. And I just like felt like I should just stand up here. So I just stood up here and, you know, gave her the stare every once in a while. And she came up to me, just tears. And she said, Brooke, I'm supposed to be baptized. And I said, well, you're in luck because we're doing one tomorrow. And she said, let's do it. So I was like, well, tell your parents first. But yeah, so we just last night, like 10 o'clock at night, called my dad and we're like, hey, we're adding her. And she said, I don't want to wait any longer. I want to do this. And so I'm so proud of her, and I love all these girls, and she asked me to pray for her, and it made me, we're going to cry again, so I'm going to do that. So, Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord, for this life, for the life of Kirsten, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that you protect her from everything, Lord, all the days of her life, Lord, and I pray that she just leans on you in everything, and that she seeks you in all that she does, Lord, and that she can just miss out on all the bad things in life, Lord, and that she just follows you and your will, and I pray that we as a youth group can just come behind her and always hold her up. And I pray that her family just stands behind her, Lord. And I thank you for this decision she's making, Lord. And I'm just so proud of her. And I pray that you just be with her. And I thank you for her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Kirsten Akers, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Woo. Praise God. I'm going to invite our worship team to come to the front. We want to send you out of here with a song that declares the greatness of our God, and praise his name as we go. Amen.
Love.
Sunday, what a great celebration Sunday. We are not quite done yet. There are cupcakes out here, out this way. And if you'd be so kind as to take the communion cups with you, and there will be some trash receptacles out there. Appreciate your help with that. And I just want to encourage you as you go. We are entering the mission field. In a couple months, we're anticipating another baptism service. If you would like to be baptized, we'll have a baptism class, and we ask you to come to that, and that'll prepare you for the baptism sacrament. And we thank you for being here today. If you're a guest with us, we pray that you sense God's presence in this room as we've worshiped Him. Father, send us. Send us out to all the world, wherever you want us to go this week. May we hear your voice. May we see with our eyes where God is working. May we join you in your work. And may we go with your blessing today, God. We want to live under the blessing of God. Send us as your children. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's go.